The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. It's World Daily. It's match day. Hopefully not the final match day for our brave Canadian boys. But boy, they got a challenge ahead of them today against Morocco. I'm James Sharman. Craig Forrest from Seattle joins us. Jimmy Brennan from Toronto. Dan Wong from Toronto. JC, not from Toronto today, or maybe later on Toronto, but right now for Erie. Welcome, everyone. How are we feeling? We're going to get into Canada, and we've got some great comments from our listeners later in the show. But right now, let's kind of just set the emotional table here, where we're at ahead of this match. Are we just happy to be there in the round of 16, Canada, at a World Cup? Or are we like, you know what? No. This is still a football match that is winnable, as every football match is, as Cape Verde almost showed us yesterday. Let's go for this one and be nervous, and let's not enjoy the 90 minutes, right? And hate every second of it. Craig, how you feeling? Where you at?
I don't know yet. I just got out of bed, but I'm pretty excited about it.
How long does it take you usually to realize how you're feeling after you get up?
Oh, it takes a while now.
Did you have a coffee?
No, I didn't have time to have a coffee.
Oh, well, no wonder.
Yeah, mind you, it is wrong.
Well, yeah, 6 a.m. on a Saturday. Yeah, that's a bit rough. Well, Craig doesn't know how he's feeling. How are you feeling, Jimmy?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for asking. Really good. Never been better.
But how are you feeling about the match?
Oh, really good. I'm excited. Do you know what? I just realized I need to go put my jersey on. You know, the last game, I put my jersey on as soon as I got up. And this morning I got up and I put this one on. And for superstition reasons, I think I need to go get my jersey and put it on.
Do it. The pink's nice.
Yep.
All right, Jimmy's left. What a great start to the show. Craig doesn't know how he feels.
It's so Jimmy
didn't
Footy
listen
Prime.
To the question, and now he's left. How are you feeling about the game today?
Look, I was out last night trying to figure out how I was going to watch it. So a couple of my buddies were in town. Craiger and JC know them, Jerry and Sugar. We went down to, I'll give a shout out to Hong Xing, who wonderful, wonderful Chinese food that we did our Christmas party that Craig and Jimmy came to. Just like my group of friends get together. And we were talking about how we're going to spend our day before the match. And I have to tell you, I woke up. I got prepared by reading some of the comments, which were sensational. Yesterday's are, you know, for us, 3,000 views on the old YouTube is great, but it's the interaction with Moroccans, other Canadians, people who just really are excited about this match, and it's getting me excited. I don't know how we're going to win, but there's got to be a way. And maybe yesterday's clickbait is the way we put the thumbnail and said Canada already won. I'm just hoping that is something that happens. I don't know how it's going to be, and I want Jimmy and Craig to tell us, because some of our comments are about that, about tactics and all of the things. And Jimmy was sharing yesterday about maybe a third midfielder and things like that. So I know there's a way we can win, especially watching Cape Verde yesterday. I don't know how it's going to happen. I can't visualize it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And we'll get to the comments later in the show today. But there's always a way in football. I'm kind of curious, though, about vibes and feels around the World Cup now, with obviously Toronto. The World Cup's left Toronto as far as matches. Is there still a vibe there? I'm in Houston right now, and I got to tell you, walking around the streets of Houston, man, it's pretty barren. There isn't much buzz here at all. There's certain areas near the fan zone, Fan Fest, where you see stuff. There's a nice big trophy that spins around in this kind of square. But, I mean, maybe it's just Houston in general, because it's a very sleepy town, as Craig told me beforehand, and it is. Not many people live down here. There's not much going on. There's some great restaurants.
What do you mean not lots of people live
there's
down?
There's not
lots
much going on. Okay. Honestly, if you see people, they're generally media staying downtown, thinking, let's stay downtown. That's a good idea. Oh. Right. But great restaurants, right? And they're usually packed. So there are people, but I don't know where they come from. But there isn't a sense of like occasion here.
It's true. You're right, Charms. I think there's a lot of places in the States and big cities where the downtown core is very quiet and everybody lives in the outskirts. It's not like here or the East Coast where everybody's downtown. It's vibrant. Things are happening.
That's the word.
Houston's like that. It's very quiet. Downtown. Yeah.
So I'm not saying the US hasn't, you know, embraced this World Cup, because apparently they have in certain areas. If Canada win, then we're off to Boston, which I'm sure will be a very different experience, because Boston's amazing.
Boston's been going off too with the Scots there and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They're probably still there, some of them actually. There's no way they remembered their flight, most of them. I bet about half of the Scots still don't realize that the World Cup and their World Cup's over.
Yeah. I bet you they're partying with the pilots. The pilots haven't even taken they gave probably. Up. They're like, we're not going back.
Probably. How's Seattle, Craig?
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's starting to build, obviously, with the US-Belgium game coming up.
And you're calling that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice exciting. To hear your voice. Yeah, nice to hear your voice on the TV.
Oh, mm-hmm. Thanks, buddy.
When you're awake.
It's going to be pretty exciting for sure. Pochettino and the team were at the Seattle Mariner game last night. Pochettino threw out the first pitch. He had a Mariner jersey on and everything else. Their fans were pretty excited about that. So
during the World Cup. During the World Cup. Wow. During a World Cup, they were out and about doing stuff. Crazy.
Yeah.
I know I've got some friends, doesn't matter who they are. But anyway, in Toronto, ran into half the Portuguese team walking down the street. Sons Ronaldo, obviously, because he can't do that for obvious reasons.
No.
We were driving to a restaurant here and we saw half the Japanese team just walking down the street when we first arrived here. So I guess you can do that in certain cities, no problem at all, right?
Yeah. What's interesting in Seattle is that everything shuts down, like even on a Saturday night. Restaurants, 8:30, 9, get out.
Really?
Really? Yeah, it's really hard to find anywhere after 9 o'clock. It's almost impossible.
What hotel are you staying in? Like, where are you staying? Are you downtown?
Right down in the Mixer, Marriott. I can see the stadium, both stadiums, baseball stadium.
What's your room number?
We're gonna send some entertainment over tonight.
Yeah.
Seeing as everything closes at 8:30,
that's right.
Yeah,
you're gonna get a clown. You're gonna get a clown and a three dogs and a juggler. Yeah. They're gonna show up.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
I heard a story last night catching up with my friends that the Portuguese fans on Lower Simcoe, and my friends took pictures because she's volunteering for FIFA in Toronto, and they were still there at 1 o'clock in the morning, hanging out, partying around the hotel. So, but the other story, which we were talking about vibes, Sharms, was I was going off air talking with Jimmy. As soon as that match ended at BMO/Toronto Stadium, they started taking it apart.
Oh, yeah.
Like immediately they were like, hey, it's 5 after 10 on a Thursday night. And they were starting to dismantle the stadium already. So all of those, you know how you were talking about, and you got validated because of your comment about how Toronto Stadium feels and how, what was the name of that manager who just said
Roberto
how
great Martinez.
It was? Roberto Martinez, yeah.
My mate.
You guys are soul brothers, right? And now there is that stadium. I'm going to drive by like probably in the next 2 days and it's going to look like it always has, right? Which is still a nice stadium, but it did have some glory. It looked great with all the wrapping and
yeah, it's still just a bit sad, right? I imagine to
it's
see
a bit the sad.
World Cup. Even the World Cup's still very much in the money time, money zone. It's brilliant. And I'm sure there's going to be a vibe down there at the fan fests at Canada House.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure of it. It is, I imagine, like, oh, really? What a party it's been, right?
And so how great if they had left it open, sorry, James, if they had left the stands up and had like a free watch party in there or even, you know, donate something or $5 or whatever, could they have put up screens and had the Canada game shown from BMO? Like, wouldn't that have been an amazing thing?
They could have. I just wonder how much time it takes to dismantle because TFC is not too far away, right, Jimmy? They got games. Yeah. It's not that far off.
Right.
And that's a lot of seating to dismantle. Maybe it's a timing issue because I bet they could. They got all the new screens there. Are the screens staying there, Jimmy, in the corners? Yeah. Do you know? They are staying. Yeah. That's amazing. That's brilliant. Cool.
So there's some of the infrastructure, Jimmy, that will be staying. Like,
yeah.
And so the north ones,
yeah. The north end boxes, they're staying.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's just the stands on top of them. And then the other stands on the south side, those are coming down.
So capacity will be what now? Like it'll be a little more than
around 30.
Okay. Oh, great.
That's awesome. All the stick that Toronto is getting for that stadium, it's been one of the best in this tournament. Yep. The atmosphere, I mean, I was there for 5 games and then they finished off with that unbelievable. Well, I want to say unbelievable. It was incredible. With Croatia and Portugal. Couldn't have been better. The atmosphere coming through on the TV was, you know, is tangible. And yeah, I got to say, like, even the game here, Belgium against Senegal, I don't know how many people are in Seattle Stadium here, but 60,000-ish, you know. It wasn't Toronto. Mm-hmm. Not the same atmosphere.
Well, we are the center of the universe, right, Charms?
Yeah, damn right we are.
City of Toronto.
Just upset the band. We got a lot of Vancouver.
No sports network. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I think I've given enough love to Vancouver the last few weeks that we can say that type of thing and get away with it.
Well, the funny thing is, Footy Prime, none of us are from Toronto originally, except Jimmy.
I'm the only Torontonian.
East York. East York.
Yep.
Is that Toronto?
Yes.
Is it Toronto?
I was in East York for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah.
James was born in Toronto. He's got a Scarborough accent.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, apparently, according to some people, my real accent is Scarborough. Scarborough, English. Actually, my dad was born in Scarborough, England. So there you go.
Wow.
There you go.
You could play for Scarborough then.
Yeah.
The country of Scarborough.
The country of
Scarborough. When I was a kid, Scarborough was like loads of Scots and English.
Yeah, that's right.
Loads of Scots and English.
Yeah, well, lots of roads there are still named like Scottish names and English names. Yeah. I had a point I was going to make and it's totally gone now.
I'm sorry.
Sure, it was great though.
Let me just add, while you're trying to figure out your thoughts there, one thing that's interesting about Seattle is that, and the Mariners, I just said that Pochettino threw out the first pitch, is that they're playing the Blue Jays.
Oh.
So the city last night was just packed full of Blue Jay fans.
Yeah.
More than Mariner fans on the streets. And I know that they're all trying to organize because the baseball game's at 1:07, I think, Pacific time. Canada's playing at 10. They're heading to the Angry Beaver, which is a bar in Seattle that is basically run or owned by a Canadian. You can get poutine there. You can get all sorts of stuff.
You know that that gif of the dog that goes
to the side? Oh, the ugly
that'd
dog?
That would be a good place for it when you say the Angry Beaver. That would be the moment to put that dog's...
yeah.
I think they're at that someplace. Tom's Bar here is where all the Canadians are gathering. They were there last night, apparently, and gathering there, I imagine, very early today as well. I mean, it's a noon kickoff, right? So you don't get quite enough time to get completely sourced, but I'm sure they do a pretty good job. And certainly post-match, Houston will be alive. I bet you Houston tonight will be more alive than it's been for a very long time, no matter what the result is. Okay. Again, we're going to get the comments very shortly, but I want to go over the bracket quickly and talk about, well, that match last night. Who watched the game last night? Brazil, Argentina. Okay,
put my hand up. I did.
Okay. I mean, my God. Jimmy, what a performance by Cape Verde. And,
oh, it was incredible.
I don't know what's wrong with Argentina. They just haven't got that dynamicism, do they? Really, it seems. Outside little spurts here and there. But let's just focus right now on their opponents. People just dismiss them and almost laugh them off, saying, oh, it's a nice story, but now they're playing real football and they're going to get smashed. Mm-hmm. Didn't happen. They almost pulled the greatest shock probably in the history of the World Cup. Almost.
Yeah. Do you know what? When people were talking about that 48 teams and, oh, it's not that, look at it now. Some of the games have been absolutely brilliant. And you watch that Cape Verde, it just goes to show you what hard work and determination can do. Being resilient, leaving everything on the line. You got one game to make something happen. And I thought they were fantastic last night. Just their energy for 90 odd minutes.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I'm taking them extra time. Like, it was... what a game. What a game. And then it was almost at the point where you're actually cheering them on, going, go on, get another one.
Yeah, you are.
You know?
Absolutely. That equalizing goal in extra time.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to score an equalizing goal against the world champions in extra time, that's a pretty good way of doing it, Craig. My God, what a beauty that was. What a
finish. Oh. My God. Incredible.
That guy will never forget that the rest of his life. Amazing. And you know, I got to give it to the referee as well, because he was in the crowd. He was looking for people in the 30th row. I didn't know how far he was going to go. And the letter of the law, you know that the referee assessor is probably going to be having a chat to him because you just can't have that sort of thing happen. At the same time, it's probably well played.
Yeah.
Because if you'd booked him or done something, that place would have just right? I mean, it was just a moment that you just had to let happen. You just had to let it breathe, right?
Right. I was saying the same thing. I was like, oh, he's getting booked for it, but it's well worth it. And then when he got back on, I was like, he didn't get booked.
No.
But it must be something like that FIFA's allowed, because like even when I went to the game the other night, and when Portugal scored or when Croatia scored, the whole bench is on the field celebrating.
They're allowing that now. They actually said that we're okay with it.
It's brilliant, though. I think it's amazing.
Me too. Like,
everybody just going crazy. The whole bench, and then you just see
joyous, them, right?
Then you see like 12 guys just walking in a huddle back to the bench to get their seats.
But it should be a joyous occasion. We should be celebrating this, right? I mean, the world's a complete shithole, 1748 at the moment. We should be allowed to celebrate these little moments. And if that means a bench can clear for a goal, and if that means a player can jump into the stands and look where his people are and look a little confused, then that's a moment that we have to embrace.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I'm going to go the other way a little bit, just because I'm thinking of a player going into the crowd and everyone's kissing him and grabbing him and like, it's amazing. But then there's this one guy with a cold sore who kisses him, and all of a sudden he gets a herpes and he comes down and he's like,
herpes factor.
Yeah. The herpes factor from the crowd. 'Cause you don't know who's kissing you. These are just a group of fun, you know, or you can get warts or any, like lots
of. Could be a good excuse though, right? I don't know where it came from. You saw me in the crowd, right?
One in four people have a herpy.
Simplex 102, whatever it is. I don't know.
Wasn't it a Canadian referee who was calling the match? And what weren't they? So this is somewhere, these guys, this guy is calling a round of 32 match, a Canadian squad. What does that mean on a development level, Jimmy and Craig? Like just even having Canadians who are refereeing at this level now.
Well, I mean, obviously, I think it's brilliant and it just shows where we're going with the game. Even my involvement, you know, being a Canadian former international, calling games internationally for the host broadcaster is like, I'm not sure that would have happened all that long ago, you know? So we're heading in a direction where there's respect for countries right across the board. And
well, let me bring in just a little bit of, I know we're going to do comments later, but why don't we do a little JC and then, cause this has some Canadian flair to it.
Okay.
Can I just, before I get to this, this is going to get a little emotional because this could be our last World Cup Watch Canada, brought to you by Tim Hortons. It's game on today with Tim.
We'll find Canadian content throughout the world.
Yeah, we will. We have to find the referees.
Yeah, maybe it's that.
So here's from our friend Darth Nacho, and this is a YouTube comment. What I love about Forrest calling games is he knows when to stop talking because he's watching the game and not just talking to fill space. In fact, all the Footy Prime currently calling games have been fantastic. I think he means like comments and everything, but Signa, Shireen, and Amy from the broadcast and Amy from the main show and Jimmy have fantastic additions to the booths. So just Footy Prime has been all over this FIFA World Cup 2026. And so props to you guys. It's been amazing. And congratulations. Everyone is really enjoying the work you're doing. So there's a little shout out to you guys.
I think Craig knows and Jimmy knows that less is more when you're calling games as a color commentator, right? Let it breathe a little bit. Cause I mean, the atmosphere is brilliant, right? It's amazing. Let the atmosphere breathe.
I agree. There's it's not radio, you know. You got these amazing pictures. You got 35 something cameras and helicopters and drones and everything else. They're not missing anything. It's really it's a visual masterpiece what these people put together. They're the best of the best in TV and directors and producers. Or, you know, I'm lucky to be with a mostly Dutch crew for this one, but they're from literally all over the world. We have something like 15 different nationalities on this. So they pluck these people from all over the world that know football and know how to direct it as good as anybody around. It's been absolutely fantastic.
You know the World Cup's here, right, Jimmy? When you see the super slow-mo replays or the fans in super slow-mo, it's like, World Cup's here. Host World Cup. Love that.
Yeah, it's been so much fun. I just love it. And with all the cameras and on different angles, and you just see the play so much better, don't you? Sometimes, you know, for me as well, though, and I was saying, like, even because the stadiums are massive and a lot of the cameras are quite high, aren't they? Sometimes you want them a little bit closer so you can see.
Oh, man, the one today, Houston, we're in the stadium yesterday, a little walk around. It's massive. I'm not sure.
How many people? What's the capacity there, Sharms?
I think it's 70 or something, but it just seems the way they're so steep, the tiers, like the press box is way up there. Here and also in LA, we're using the regular press box, whereas in Toronto and Vancouver, there was what they call the press tribune, which is part of the stands. You see the white desks, you probably see it, right? And that's so much better because you're outside, you're with the fans, and literally fans sitting beside you, and you get the atmosphere. Whereas you're in the press box like today, and there's this thick glass between you and what's going on. It's a beautiful stadium, but it's a little bit of a shame that we're kind of distanced and away from the fans.
Is it air conditioned up there? Air conditioned? Yeah.
Well, the whole thing is a whole stadium. Oh. Yeah, it's a roof on it.
Yeah.
So it's
thank goodness for that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
climate control. They definitely need a water break today.
Jesus, that'd be a hydration break.
Yeah. Well, and, that's right. And for future shows, we are going to go through the new rules that they brought in for the World Cup, and we're going to give them grades. So, World Cup Watch Canada will continue, even with, brought to you by Tim Hortons, even with Canada maybe being on the way out, but not. We're hoping not.
Hey, settle down, right?
I know. I still, like, I don't.
Simmer down there, Wonger.
All right, we're going to get to it. We're going to get to it shortly, okay? Let's go through the bracket, though, quickly. Quick comment on each last 16 tilt, okay? Paraguay against France. Now, the winner of this plays the winner of Canada and Morocco, by the way. Just if we distance Wonger from the conversation for a second here and say Canada wins today, Canada-France potentially in the quarterfinals of the World Cup sounds all right to me. Just saying. Paraguay-France, though. Jimmy, what are you thinking about that one very quickly?
France. France will win. France are too good.
They're too good. And, God, Paraguay.
What's your distaste for them? Because you said this
before.
Have
you watched them play?
No, well, they're, yeah, but you don't like the way they play.
They cheat. I mean, they are the best at the dark arts in world football. They always have been, right?
Yeah.
And listen, if they're my team, I'm fine with that. You do what you got to do to get results. And and after that first loss to the States, they've really bounced back. I give them a lot of credit. But they're not a team that's going to advertise the beautiful game, are they? You watch that and you're with some idiot who doesn't know soccer and loves mentioning diving and rolling, and you're not going to win any new fans. It's going to be an awful experience for you. Just saying. All right, moving on before I upset all the Paraguayans listening. Sorry, but that's the truth. Portugal against Spain, probably the pick of the bunch, Craig, don't you think?
Yeah. I would have to go with Spain on that one, but yeah.
Spain.
Portugal has some players that you could call the X Factor, so we know all about that.
You want to poke the Ronaldo fans now a little bit, shall we? I know he scored a penalty. But you see him out there. I'm not sure what role he plays, really, for a really, really good Portugal team that could win this World Cup if they had someone up top who was a little bit more mobile.
Mm. He's an absolute legend to those people. You just can't get away from it. I think he'd be a tough manager. I mean, he came off and he wasn't happy about it, of course, but he didn't throw his toys out of the pram quite that like that. But
you guys are being way too nice right now. My God.
He is prone to tantrums, right? So it's quite interesting.
But I mean, that whole Toronto scene and him on the balcony and stuff like that, I mean, it was what I expected because the Portuguese numbers in Toronto and their love for their nation and Ronaldo is at a level that you don't see very often.
Gregor, it reminded me when Michael Jackson was, I think he was in Paris or in London, and he held his baby out.
It did.
And people are taking pictures.
That's exactly what it's like. Thank you. Yeah. He's holding Gonzalo Ramos in his hands. Actually, yeah. He might drop Ramos because that's the guy that might take his spot eventually. No, Jimmy, let me ask you. So you're the Portuguese coach, right? And you're in a knockout game.
Congratulations, Jimmy.
Yeah, no,
thank you very much. I've worked so hard for this.
Finally, you got his badges, so you deserve this. But it's a match that you know that if you lose, you're probably out of a job. You're done, right? Back on the heap, the unemployment heap. Probably have to start a podcast. Stay relevant. Yeah. Do you pick Ronaldo to start against Spain?
I think you have to. Because he is the type of guy, he gets one chance, he finishes. So you got to play him. Yeah, he's not going to do the work along the back line like he would have done when he was younger or what other players would do. But you're still talking about one of the greatest goal scorers of all time in the game. And even watching him live in that match, you know, you're right. He wasn't as mobile, but the players are always looking for him. But he does make clever little runs in the box. So I think you got to start them and probably see how the game goes and do what they did last time and take them off at the right time. If he's gassed or not scoring.
I will say the goal you scored that was offside was unbelievable. Very few players in the world could do that. That touch was incredible. Yeah. It's such a shame it wasn't ruled a goal because, my God, it was pretty special. Okay, USA, Belgium, Craig. You're getting set for this one. Belgium, I don't know what they are. Are they great? Are they terrible? Are they in between? But I know the States have been very, very good, but they're playing this without their top striker in Balogun.
Yeah, that's a big loss to them, of course. Yeah. But looking at Belgium against Senegal, I mean, they're outplayed for 85 minutes against the African side that you could say, well, you can't say they, I guess, deserve it because they didn't hold on to it. They gave two late goals away. But I think the United States will have periods that they will dominate against Belgium. But they have, they have those, if I don't know what they'll do with Lukaku. I mean, he only played 60 odd minutes in the last year. His little substitute appearances, he's come on, he looks a little on the big side. He looks like he could probably lose a few pounds.
Enjoying the American cuisine.
Yeah, yeah.
Big portions.
Talk about lack of mobility. But he was instrumental because he just popped out of nowhere and scored the first goal and started that whole comeback for them. So,
Craig, if we did the math and worked out his per hourly, his rates are pretty high as a professional soccer player, right?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, 60 hours. That's pretty good.
I mean, he's a goal scoring machine for Belgium.
Oh, yeah.
92 international goals. I mean,
we do have to mention, Craig, that Belgium and the States played in a friendly about a month before, and Belgium won handily. So,
is it,
you know, the States have come. I mean, you guys played tournament football. The meshing and the vibe and the chemistry all have to be hitting, right? And it looks like the States have turned a corner. Poch has turned a corner with this team.
Yeah, and I don't even think that if you really talked to him before the tournament started, if he thought that was going to happen, because there wasn't signs of that. They went a long period of time where you were like, I don't know about Pochettino. Mm-hmm. He just seems to have run out of ideas with this group. And then they just show up like, you know, they've just been fantastic. And the country's definitely feeding off it. There's definitely a footballing mood here in the United States that I've never seen before.
Maybe the most intriguing matchup is Brazil-Norway. Again, Brazil's a little bit like Belgium. I mean, they're better than Belgium. But I'm not quite sure what they are so far in this World Cup. Has Ancelotti got them figured out? But I know that Norway's a threat, a team with a guy that might get three touches in the match, but then might score two goals. Even I got family through Tony in Red Deer who barely know what shape of football is. They never even, they honestly, zero interest. I got a text from my sister-in-law yesterday, Erling Haaland. What about him? He's a beast. I'm like, what? He's the craziest text I've ever got in my life. And they know who Erling Haaland is. He's become a star at this World Cup. Jimmy, your thoughts on this game?
Norway. I fancy Norway to win it. Really, yeah. I really do. Yeah. And then their next game could be either England or Mexico. Now, I know I'm jumping the gun here. I think Mexico's going to win that. And if Mexico and Norway play, I think Norway's going to get to possibly the semis.
I mean, they were a dark horse, weren't they, Craig, for a lot of people?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's doable. It's doable because this Brazilian side hasn't hit the ground yet.
No.
But they could still.
But they could. Yeah.
Still Brazil, right? Not your typical vintage Brazil, but they have got some star power. Every player is playing at a top club, but they still have Casemiro and relying on him, who's, you know, a shadow of what he was 5 years ago. And defensively haven't looked that great. I don't know. I can't wait for this one. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, we talk about Norway and we boost these teams, these dark horses. And when push comes to shove, sometimes they get found out a little bit, but I don't know the last time Norway got found out. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Mexico, yeah. England. Jimmy, you have Mexico beating England at the Azteca. Is that largely part due to climate or the fact that Mexico
I think
is
pretty good everything, team? Everything involved in it. I think Mexico right now are playing unbelievable football. The fans have been instrumental in getting them going.
Not one goal against.
Exactly. They're playing in altitude, Azteca. What time is 6 o'clock kickoff or something like that?
Yeah, they were talking about changing it, but they didn't. They kicked it back.
I just can't see England beating Mexico in the Azteca. Mm-hmm.
I hear tickets are like $40,000 for that game now, too.
Wow.
I can't see England beating anyone at the Azteca.
They better keep hold of the ball. Yeah. I mean, they have the ability to hold on to the ball for periods of time because we know that if you don't, you're gonna feel it physically.
I think people
place is a cauldron. I mean, it's reduced capacity compared to what we played at like 120,000 people, but it's still got that aura about it. It's a special place. And they're unbeaten there, I think, in World Cup history, I believe. I don't think they've ever been beaten there. And then they went for years and years with that. Nobody could beat them there. And part of the problem with the Mexicans is compared to back in the day when several of them played for Club America in Mexico City, they were so used to altitude where a lot of the Mexican players aren't playing at altitude anymore. So they have to deal with it as well.
Yeah.
But that crowd just pulls them along. I mean, my goodness, the other night when they were playing, it was like, oh, brought back some bad memories. You just can't stop it. When they're running and rolling, man, it's just sometimes it's just impossible.
So when we send over the clown and the juggler and the dogs, they're all going to be wearing Mexican kits, just so you know.
Hey, to give you some more nightmares. Need a selling shirt in the world.
Oh, that's right.
More than France, more than Argentina. I was talking to a guy here that had shirts and retro shirts at a store last night. And it's a fantastic store. I mean, spent a lot of time in there looking at all sorts of retro stuff. He said, I can't keep these Mexican jerseys on the shelf. And I was like, well, you got a couple there. And he goes, oh, they came in an hour ago. He goes, they'll be gone. I've got a hold of Adidas. I can't get any more jerseys. Mexico's like sold out everywhere. They can't make them fast enough.
Wow.
Is it just looking at this, right? Mexico has only lost 8 times in the Azteca in 141 matches.
Yeah. I don't like these stats, Jimmy. I think we're just missing England's quality here a little bit.
Are you?
And only two in competitive matches being qualifiers, only twice. And that was against the States and Honduras.
Yeah.
And the other times were friendly matches. So only twice in competitive matches that they've lost there.
See, this game kind of screams to me. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but you know, sometimes you get these matches at World Cups where all this evidence points towards one team, maybe surprising the other team, because it would still be a surprise given, you know, England's history, yada, yada, yada. Right. But often you see these games, and in the end, the favored team does actually comfortably win. Does happen. I hope that's the case. I'm not confident at all. I'm really worried about this match. Like, for all the reasons you've said there, I'm desperately worried. I know most England fans are. But there's part of me that just thinks the quality will shine through, you know, despite their form so far. I mean, you can say the same about Spain. Spain weren't good up until now either, until their last match. Right? Mm-hmm. England have the ability to turn it on and to put in a great performance. They have got the quality. Man for man, they're a better team.
Yeah.
Talent-wise, they're a better team.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with Harry Kane alone. Like,
right.
You know, Mexico.
Raul Jimenez or Harry
Kane. Jimenez is going back to Wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just got relegated, right?
So I think this narrative is beginning to get a little bit out of control. God, I hope so.
Yeah.
God, I hope so.
I put my money where my mouth is, and I agree with Jimmy. So I put $15 huge dollars down on BetMGM for Mexico to win. It was 2.5 to 1 at the time. So it was like 280 at the time.
Oh, really?
Wow.
It's plus it's plus 3 now.
All right.
Is it?
So there you go.
But England's only plus 237. So it's not much of a difference.
Interesting. Very interesting. But that's going to be a fascinating match tomorrow. Argentina, Egypt, Salah's World Cup continues. Maybe that was a wake-up call yesterday, huh, Craig, for Argentina?
Yeah, like 4 years ago when they lost the opener against Saudi Arabia. It was like the knives were out. And maybe that's just their little hiccup that gets them on the straight and narrow and go on to win this thing. I mean, who knows?
who knows like, in this World Cup? Oh, been brilliant.
We're going to see more crazy stuff happen.
Egypt taking the penalties by the Socceroos. And they find a way. And then Switzerland, Colombia in Vancouver. As Vancouver says, farewell to the World Cup. That's Colombia looked pretty decent last night. They're a good team. But Switzerland, again, just a team, right? No stars, per se. Who you got in that one, Jimmy?
Which game there, sorry?
Switzerland, Colombia.
Colombia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go along with that.
Are you putting 15 big ones on someone there, Wonger?
No, but I was watching that match and I'm like, Luis Diaz is, I know he's in Bayern and we used to be with Liverpool, correct?
Yes.
He is, like, he's dominating out there. And it just shows that difference in skill and what pace and determination and just a guy who's, you know, at that level versus some of the other guys who aren't at that level. Mm-hmm. And to Craig and Jimmy's point, the stars have come out in this World Cup. And yes, these games where we thought, oh, they're going to win by 5-0. And, you know, the stars came out for the lower teams, too. That's mm-hmm. what's crazy. Like the stars are coming out, but it's every star from every team, right? Like, and you're sitting there going, oh, that's why it's so competitive, because the stars are balling. Like, that's what's going on. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, you're right. The stars are balling. And you want to see that at a World Cup, I think. You want to see, you know, it's perfect balance, right? We've seen these fairy tale runs, Cape Verde as a prime example. And we want to see, and we've had that. Canada, even, right? We have that. And we also want to see the stars be the stars. And we have that.
And even in that Argentina match last night, Martinez made that save on that last final free kick that was kind of headed in that top corner again, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, the stars are starring out. Like, it's great. It's fantastic.
Good World Cup for goalkeepers, Craig.
Yeah. It has, hasn't it been? Like, I mean, the unknown. Like, I mean, the Cape Verde goalkeeper, he's 40 years old. I heard that he might have been on a free transfer. He's playing at Cyprus and different places, and he probably for 40 years couldn't catch a cold, and now all of a sudden he's like playing the best football of his life. Yeah. I hope somebody takes a chance on him if he is on a free.
The 40, then. Sure. He's for marketing, for PR. Yeah. Sign him up.
That's a movie. That guy's a movie, right?
You know what? He is a movie. Let's hope he's had a really... Okay, I don't hope he's had a really tragic past, but for a movie, it'd be really good. He's got a backstory here. Adversity. Wow. He come through, you know, like, I mean, obviously professional football, he's had adversity, but that would be a great movie. With a bit of poetic license. Let's sprinkle in some tragedy in there. Always makes for a better... And a love story.
Yes.
Let's hope he's not a really bad guy, because there's some other players.
Oh, God. It's a movie, and then you look into their past. Like,
God.
They robbed 48 banks.
He spent 15 years in prison. No wonder we haven't heard of him.
For arson.
Okay, listen.
Might have needed to.
Comments. Canada.
Comments.
Morocco is coming up shortly. Come on. Give me some comments here.
Okay, here's a long one, but it'll lead to a lot of things. Captain Jack Tanner, our friend, loving this Neville Goddard visualization approach. Assuming Canada wins, how do they do it? Low scoring, yes, maybe 2-1. Morocco looking past Canada to a quarterfinal matchup with France. Not used to playing at high noon, a bit emotionally depleted from their victory over the Netherlands. Canada get an early goal, maybe on a penalty. Try to hold on as Morocco become more frustrated, but finally break through in the 78th minute to tie. Now, Morocco's going for the kill, and Canada just hanging on. but a quick clearance and extra time sends Schaffelberg and Promise out 2-on-1 to score the winner. Wow, Captain Jack Tanner. That is fantastic. What a narrative that would be.
Can I just say, Neville Goddard, for those of you that don't know who he is, including me, until about a minute ago, Neville Goddard was a 20th century mystic and author whose core philosophy is summarized by the phrase, imagination creates reality.
Wow. So yesterday, Craig, you weren't here, but Sharms and I decided that Canada had won and we wanted to know how they won, and we made Amy and Jimmy describe it. I'm going to...
By the way.
Pardon me?
Dubs hated it.
Oh, she hated... Well, she hated the clickbait that we created.
Yeah,
which was pretty
well.
Yeah, with her face when she was like, really? I've got to do that? But Craig, Captain Jack Tanner just described what he sees. How can Canada... Jimmy talked about it, and it'll go to tactics after. How do you see Canada winning? And I know, like, you told me to simmer down, which you do a lot, to be honest. But how do you see us winning? How do you see Canada winning?
I think they have to do what they've been doing for the last few years under Jesse Marsh and just absolutely go on the front foot and have a go. Have a go. The first goal is going to be incredibly important in this match. And if Canada can get it and put them on the back foot a little bit, I think that's the way to approach it. I don't think we should start changing, and I don't expect Jesse Marsh to start changing how they approach this Morocco side, because they've shown in the last few years, even at Copa America when they played against Argentina, they could compete. Yeah, they lost 2-0, but they had a go. And I think at the end of the day, if they do that, that's really going to be what Canada's made of, and they're going to be proud of this team one way or the other. If they sit back and try to change what they've been doing, I don't think they're capable of doing it at the same level. They need to play on the front foot and use their attacking pace to put Morocco under some pressure, which I think they're capable of doing.
I hope Peter Drury's on the call, don't you? And they do that.
Yeah.
Be like, you know, Belgium have no answer to the chaotic Canada or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, just picture it now.
But it's funny because Jimmy yesterday was mentioning, hey, I could see them dropping down into an extra midfielder.
Sorry, did I say Belgium there?
Yeah. I think, yeah.
What the hell am I talking about?
Dude, you're having
I don't know, but it sounded good.
No one said, what are you talking about? No one just accepted it.
Well, we don't want to overcorrect our host.
When I get a completely wrong team, you're more than welcome to correct me, okay?
Jimmy, I'm going to pull up another comment just because it goes against, not that you're arguing, but it goes against a little bit of tactics with what Craig was talking about. Do you agree with going to a 4-5-1? This is from Leo Chapman, or a 5-3-2? And if so, would you rather an extra CB center back or extra center midfielder? Remember, Johnston can also play a part of the back, and Segura can go wing back. So, is that changing things too much, or is this something that you could see happening for kind of a defensive shell or a different approach in the midfield?
Well, I think the game can dictate it as well, right? If you're up 1-0 in the last 15 minutes of the game, you might put another center back on and go over the back five, maybe go over the 5-4-1, just to really kind of see the game out and make sure they get defensively sound, because when you're holding on, they're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at you, and they're going to overload spaces in the box. So you might want to put that extra center back, but I don't think to start the game, I wouldn't go with three center backs. No, I wouldn't do that. But it's, you know, it's good points he's made.
Well, you made them yesterday.
And playing on the front foot doesn't mean that they might not necessarily have a five at the back. I mean, you end up dropping back into a five defensively,
yeah.
But as soon as you get the ball in possession, let's go. Let's push forward and attack with numbers.
Because front foot isn't always about just attacking. It's about winning the ball, pressing, right? That's also being on the front foot, giving them no chance to build from the back, which is what they like to do.
Yeah, it really means being aggressive, right?
Yeah, right.
And your approach.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I expect.
Yeah.
You two have both played in matches that you were underdogs in. What's happening in the, like, what was the coach's words to you? I'm wondering what, like, Jesse obviously is different than Holger was for you guys, but what were the words to you two playing in the Gold Cup? Because that's the last run of the cup that Canada has had. What were the words from Holger saying to you guys, hey, get ready with the 82 people in LA Coliseum selling popcorn?
Jimmy, you do the move.
But were there any words of inspiration, or was it just, hey, we've got this far, and, you know, talking of it, I can see us winning. So go out there and win.
You know, I think with Jesse, the way he'll be, I don't think they'll, in that squad, the confidence that they have, I don't think they're looking at themselves like they are the underdog. I think they're going, this is a game we're going to win. And Holger was no different with us. He just gave us a belief that we could beat anybody. It was, okay, respect the opposition. But at the end of the day, it's 11 v 11. Get out there and go do the job. So I don't expect Jesse to be any different. He'll be like, okay, Morocco, we respect you, but when it's game time, forget about it. We're going at you.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the like us at the Gold Cup, when we kind of stuttered a few times, did okay, obviously, against Mexico, scoring the golden goal, which was in play back then, and not playing in the semifinal particularly well against Trinidad and Tobago, but we grinded it out. And then he got up against Colombia, and everybody's like, oh, wow, you're the underdogs. It's Colombia. It's like, no, we're here now, and we played, no question, we played our best football in the final against Colombia. And that's what I think that they're at right now, where there's no pressure. The pressure was on earlier on in the group stage and the round of 32. Now there's no pressure. No pressure. Most people are expecting them to lose, and they're going to go out there and show everybody that they're capable of winning. And I think they've got every chance.
And we saw with Cap Verde yesterday against Argentina, playing your best can really get you to a level that is comparable with some of the best teams. Amy said it yesterday. She doesn't think that Canada's played their best football. And
true.
Would you guys all agree?
Yes. I think they can play an awful lot better. Yeah.
I loved Alistair Johnson's comments at the press conference yesterday. He said, listen, we know that on our day, we can beat any team in the world. But we also know that if one player has an off day or we drop our standards by 1%, we could lose to any team in the world. I like that, you know, there's confidence there, but he's like challenging his teammates saying, but we have to be on our game.
Yeah.
And that's all very well for a right back to say that, or a midfielder who can work their asses off. But let's be honest, we know what's going to be important in this match, and that's we have to finish. The chance is that they're given, because there won't be many chances. They might get one or two chances in the entire match. And that is the area that is still the Achilles heel, Craig. It's like, you just have to be ruthless against these kind of teams.
Yeah, ruthless. And you talked about the goalkeepers and how important they've been in this tournament. And some of them have been the stars. This may be a case where Max Crapo has to be our best player. He's going to have to come up big and not concede anything sloppy, like the one against Switzerland, if you like. The second goal, he's got to be bang on, and he's capable of being our hero. He was in Copa America, and I think this is his moment that he's going to have to be very good in.
Yeah, he's shown that he can do it. Absolutely. Yep. Any more comments there, Wonga?
Yeah, there's a couple more. This one goes back to, and this is from Stop the Cap, 1987-1. The only way for Canada to win is if Morocco underestimates Canada. I don't think they will do that. They will approach this game like they are playing against a France or a Spain. Dima, Morocco, may the best team win this fight. I know we've talked about how do they win, but it's like this Morocco team, and I just want to talk about Morocco for a little bit. They are an exceptional team right now. We lost to them 2-1 lost them 2-1 in 2022. Borjan made a meal of a play, Craig, if you remember that. And but other than us saying, oh, like Morocco could win this whole thing, correct? They could win the World Cup.
Yeah, they're unbeaten in 33 internationals.
Yeah. So just let's talk about them for now, just for a second.
Yeah. Ouch. Well, no, they're a very different team to 4 years ago. And the players that are there are playing for bigger clubs. Their big strikers just signed with Bayern Munich this past week. It was interesting, though, the Moroccan media in the press conference yesterday, they were not happy. They were, although many of them were wearing Moroccan shirts. It's a very different sporting culture in other parts of the world, right? The reporters wear the shirts and they're getting selfies, trying to get selfies with the coach afterwards. And it's a FIFA person saying, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. But that's their fans first, and they don't care. They're happy to communicate that. But they were criticizing the coach for not scoring enough goals. And is he prepared to drop Brahim Diaz? And what's going on? You know, they weren't happy. There's pressure on that team. But they're a team that, you hear the players talk, they don't think they're in that echelon just yet. They don't think they're part of the France, Spain contending conversation. So they're not a team that would take a team lightly. That's my fear. They're such a team. They're so together. They know who they are. And they have this perception of their place in the world, and it's still not at the top table just yet. So that terrifies me, because they got a lot to prove to the world still.
They have nothing to lose either.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
And on paper, you know, a lot of Canadian fans might, you know, look at Morocco and think, well, they're not the Dutch, they're not the Germans, they're not Brazil, they're not France, or blah, blah, blah. But in recent years, they've proven that they are one of the very best around, you know. They are.
They're not losing in how many matches, Sharms?
I think it's 33.
Oh, jeez. And then our final
There was the African Cup of Nations, which is kind of debatable. But
Great point, Craig. But they are champions. As we stand right now, they're champions.
As it stands, yeah.
You know, we have to talk about, if you're Senegal, you're just having a rough run, aren't you?
Yeah. You're not having fun, are you?
Jeez.
You're really
It's like I'm done with tournament football. I'm not playing. It was kind of like when Messi and I think Argentina lost to Chile in 2016 or 2015. He said, I'm not playing for the national team ever again for the Argentina team. He basically said, I'm done. Right. And now look at him.
A couple of times, right?
Maybe Senegal will have that story. Yeah.
I know. At 2-0 against Belgium, they're thinking, finally, you know, we're going to put away this horrible year of ours.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. And,
yeah. Crazy.
Okay, last one. And this is a fun one. It's from at Abu Hudas Abu Hoods. Great podcast. A lot of respect from a Moroccan who born and grown up in Belgium. Love you guys. Moroccans love Canada and the Canadian people. Welcome to Morocco. So
that's great.
Isn't that nice? How did I read it? Yeah, it was, well, I'm it's paraphrasing, I guess.
I didn't understand it. I was like,
well, I think it's great. It's amazing, right? I think the Moroccan fans seem to be good people, right? And they love the team, but there is respect for Canada and goes both ways. I think it should be a great atmosphere inside that stadium today.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time.
Yeah,
now, we are. I don't know where we're going to be at on Monday, isn't that? Are we going to?
Yeah. What is your plans? You've got, if they win, what happens? If they lose, what happens?
If they win, I'm off to Boston. Off to Boston tomorrow. If they win, for a week of getting set for France, probably. Okay. Who knows? Okay. If they lose, then I'm on a very early flight home, as far as I know.
Boo.
And then back in the studio, I guess.
Oh, so you're on a plane at like 6-7 in the morning. Oh, Sportsnet, what are you doing to the guy?
No, it's actually, it's Faisal Kamisa's fault.
Yeah, blame him.
I went and I was like, oh yeah, sure. So Faisal, like, think about it. It's pretty early, isn't it?
But yeah, anyway,
it's irrelevant because we won't be on that flight. We're going to Boston.
Nice. Okay.
Okay,
I believe that. Boston.
Well, listen, enjoy the game, everyone. Try and enjoy the game. I'm not sure it's going to be an enjoyable game, win or lose. There's going to be a lot riding on this. I mean, my God, just think about a quarterfinal against France. Just think about that. Wow. All right, everyone. Listen, Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Legendary.
Follow us, legendary. Like us, subscribe to us. We'll see you later, everyone.
Welcome. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Great show, guys.
Excellent.
That was awesome.
Very good stuff. What's everybody doing today for the game?